Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Morning, everybody. We're looking at the theme of family today, and we're going to do that through a verse in Ephesians. So if you have your Bible, you can open that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Again, if you're newer, my name is Luke. I'm on our pastoral team, and I'll share the word with us today. The verse says this: "You are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are members of God's family. Together you are his house." Knock, knock. Who's there? Your neighbor. Which neighbor? The one on the left or on the right? The one on the left, I suppose. Which left? The immediate left or the one two doors down? The one two doors down, yes, that one. Beep. Sorry I missed your call. Please leave your name and number and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Have a great day. Okay, admittedly, it's not a very good knock-knock joke. I thought I'd give it a go. It's not a very good knock-knock joke. But don't we all know what it's like to be on either side of that door? There are people that we know that we would rather avoid. And we're pretty sure there's people that we know that would rather avoid us. Maybe that's just me. And those people aren't always all that far removed. There's a story that goes that there was a little girl who asked her mother, "Where do humans come from?" And her mom answered, "God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and that's who we all descended from." And a few days later, the little girl asked her father the same question. Her dad answered, "Well, many years ago, there were monkeys from which people evolved." And the confused girl returned to her mother and said, "Mom, how is it possible that you told me that people were created by God, and Dad said people evolved from monkeys?" And her mom answered, "Well, dear, it's really very simple. I told you about my side of the family, and your father told you about his side of the family." So I should use that one and not the knock-knock joke? Is that... Okay, just make a note of that for the next service. Great. Okay. Sure, none of us feel that way about our families, but you get the picture. As the saying goes, familiarity often breeds contempt, and yet there's something about the awkwardness, the untidiness of difference in human connection and community that also, at the same time, draws out the best in us. The best stories are not the ones about how people who already liked each other kept on liking each other. The best stories are about the people who were estranged or were even at odds with one another and yet found a way to come together, to reconcile or to harmonize. The best stories are the ones about the people who moved out from animosity and indifference and toward kindness and intention. Joanne mentioned that Valentine's Day is on the way, and C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Four Loves. Some of you may have read it. And he points out in this book the problems with having just one word for love in the English language. And he describes in the book the multiple kinds of loves that we experience or discover in life. He talks about friendship. He talks about affection. He talks about what he calls eros, which is sometimes related to romantic or sexual love. And finally, he talks about charity. He talks about affection, friendship, and eros, what he calls the natural loves, and he expands on how they can be both beautiful, but at the same time dangerous. The natural loves can go in either direction. For example, in discussing friendship, he writes this: "Friendship can be a school of virtue, but also a school of vice. It makes good men better and bad men worse. What concerns us is not the badness of friendships, but to become aware of the possible danger in good ones. I know that I should be an outsider to a circle of golfers or mathematicians or motorists, so I claim equal right of regarding them as outsiders to mine. The danger of this partial indifference or deafness to an outside opinion, justified and necessary though it is, may lead to wholesale indifference or deafness. The group will disdain as well as ignore those outside of it. It will, in effect, have turned itself into something like a class, a self-appointed aristocracy. Of course, Lewis also shares a lot about the virtues and not just the vices of friendship. Friendship itself is not good or bad, but he does get us thinking about the danger of exclusion and maybe even how that relates to what it means for us to be the church. Is the church built on friendship? Is the church built on common interest and shared tastes? The kind of community that we join to meet our kind of people? And in danger, as Lewis puts it, of indifference or deafness? Or is the church built on something other than friendship, intended to be something unusual altogether? You are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are members of God's family, writes Paul. Together you are his house. A little bit later, he says, we are carefully joined together in Christ. And Paul's words here in Ephesians suggest that a community that calls itself Christ is something more than merely a friendship community. And it isn't to say that the natural loves aren't involved in the life of the church, that friendship isn't involved, quite the opposite. It's just to say that the church is not founded on affection, eros, or friendship primarily, but on what C.S. Lewis calls charity. Charity is the kind of love that flows from God's nature and character and what we see through the life and teachings of Jesus. C.S. Lewis also says, this primal love is gift love. In God, there is no hunger that needs to be filled. There's only plenteousness that desires to give. God, who needs nothing, loves into existence wholly superfluous creatures in order that he may love and perfect them. And so charity, this gift love, is a love that makes and makes room. It's the love that makes God, God, and what every Christian community must grow into if it truly belongs to Jesus. God's gift love, it is what makes us, in Paul's words, no longer strangers and foreigners to God and to one another, but family members. And it's the love that Jesus speaks of, this charitable love, to his disciples the night before he dies. Jesus says, just as I have loved you, so you should love each other. And gift love is also the love that we hear in Jesus' voice when he says, to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. They say you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family, right? Nothing can be more true of God's family. And so a church that truly belongs to Jesus isn't just a bunch of people who have selected one another in order to develop their ideal version of a friend group. A church that belongs to Jesus has been brought together from diverse backgrounds and histories to make up a new kind of family that only exists because of the charitable gift love of God passed around from life to life. And at the risk of sounding overly simplistic, a church that belongs to Jesus is a church family which is obviously characterized by this kind of love that we see in Jesus. This love that creates and sustains and gives away, asking for nothing back. But that's the kind of family that many of us are really quite unfamiliar with. Because the word family isn't always one that we easily associate with generous, self-giving love. But that's the family that we've been brought together to discover together. God makes us a family. God calls us children, calls us siblings of one another, and offers us the chance to learn how to love how God loves in this new kind of household. To learn how to love how God loves in this new kind of household. And this is why I think what we just heard in that interview is so important. This is why our value of recognizing and releasing is vital. Through this value, we celebrate, actually, our diversity of backgrounds and histories. We celebrate our diversity of giftings. We don't expect that everybody's going to be cut from the same cloth. And we actually encourage one another to be who we are in this roomy, charitable family of Jesus. And this is also why our value of the Great Commission is really key. We don't assume, actually, within the charitable family of Jesus, that the circle is ever closed, that the doors are ever locked. We expect, actually, that Jesus will be forever wandering off in search of yet another sheep, inviting more strangers into the circle. And Jesus tells us, doesn't he, to follow him as a people of charity. We could even say to follow him as a people of generosity, follow him as a people of invitation, to follow as a people who are always making sure that the circle is open, always reminding one another that the house is still being built, that there are more bricks to be laid, because we know that if the church becomes a clique, the church has forgotten the cross. So back to my really poor attempt at a knock-knock joke, if I can suffer you with it one more time. When we knock on the door of Jesus' family, the joke gets much shorter. Knock, knock, the door opens, and that's it. I like what one writer says. They say, our stories can either be punctuated by full stops or commas. A life of Jesus is about a life full of commas. We can either think of ourselves as a finished product or as a people under construction. We're either a house with a locked door or we're an open one. And that's up to us. You are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are members of God's family. Together you are his house. Why don't we stand together? Allow me to pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you have brought us together, that you have joined us together, and that you keep us together. Thank you that we're not cut from the same cloth. Thank you for what only you make possible in your family. And we admit and confess this morning, God, that we know a little bit about love, but we have so much more to learn. And we ask in Jesus' name that you would teach us how to love like you love. Teach us to see one another as you see us. Teach us to listen to one another as you listen to us. Thank you for the room you've made. Thank you for the temple that you're building. Thank you for the work that you're doing, which is always fantastically beautiful, creative, surprising work. Jesus, as a community, we hear these values this morning, we hear these words from Scripture, and we ask that you'd help us to continue to live into being the church that you have decided we should be. Help us to have our minds and our eyes open to understanding our own giftings and to understanding what paths you have us to go on next as a community. God, we pray for those of us in the room today that need a deeper experience, that need a deeper knowledge of your charitable, primal gift love. Jesus, we come to you this morning very aware that we are desperate, needy, and thirsty, And we ask today and this week that you would pour your love into us. We pray for those of us in the room today, Jesus, for which that word family is an incredibly difficult one. And we ask by the power of your Spirit that you would redeem that word in our lives. Take us to a deeper place of love. Bring people around us that we can learn to trust and grow with. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in the middle of who we are as persons and as a community. And we ask that you continue to help us to trust you as you do it. Bless us this week as we go in the charitable gift love of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Bless you. Have a great Sunday. We have plenty of time to spend together. So let's hang out and enjoy some coffee.